AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Brett Johnson with you here on a Tuesday afternoon. And as usual on Tuesdays, we visit with one of the writers at the Minnesota Reformer. And today we're joined by Max Nesterak, who is the deputy editor at the Minnesota Reformer. Again, website minnesotareformer.com for the best in Minnesota news and politics. As today we're going to be talking about two articles. One has to do with controversy with Minnesota's top public defender, and the other has to do with some data released by the CDC that shows a rise in gun deaths in the state of Minnesota. Max, thanks so much for coming back on the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So let's start off talking about Minnesota's top public defender, because the Minnesota State, as you wrote, the Minnesota State public defender, top defender, Bill Ward, was reappointed last week over objections of a significant number of rank-and-file public defenders who say he has failed to advocate for more funding for the state's beleaguered public defense system. That's despite the fact that the public defenders who are unionized with Teamsters Local 320 voted 167-13 that they did not have confidence in Ward's leadership. So before we dive more into this, Max, can you talk a little bit about what exactly the head public defender does and how they are appointed?
Yeah, so virtually all public defenders in Minnesota are employees of the state of Minnesota, and Bill Ward, as the state public defender, oversees that entire system, which includes about 470 attorneys and 200 support staff. These are paralegals, investigators, and these folks do a lot of work in Minnesota. They represent, obviously, people accused of crimes who can't afford their own attorney, and in Minnesota, that is the vast majority of people. Something like more than 90% of defendants in Minnesota are represented by public defenders.
So what have been the major issues with public defenders that they've had with the current leader, Ward? What have been some of the issues they've had with him?
Well, in a letter that I got from the union to rank-and-file attorneys asking them to vote no confidence, they said they described Ward as disparaging of attorneys. They say he called them lazy. He also said he operated under a culture of fear. And they also criticized him for never requesting full funding for the Board of Public Defense from the state legislature, which funds the state's public defenders. You know, he's countered that. I've led this agency through. There's been grueling years of funding cuts, and I just didn't think that full funding was in the cards, so why put out a ridiculously large request if it's just not going to go anywhere? Well, public defenders count, well, you're never going to get what you don't ask for. So that's been a major point of concern for the unionized lawyers.
And funding, of course, has been a major concern for Minnesota public defenders for quite some time, as it almost did lead to a strike earlier this year. And it looked like for a while the Minnesota legislature did have an agreement to increase funding for public defenders in the state, and until that fell apart during the last session. So, yeah, certainly this funding issue has been a major problem for public defenders in Minnesota for quite some time, correct?
Yeah, so that's exactly correct. So what happened last legislative session is Representative Jamie Becker Finn, a Democrat from Roseville, asked Bill Ward to come forward with a funding proposal that would fully fund the system, so would include significant pay increases as well as enough attorneys that public defenders are not struggling under these caseloads that they say are really unethical because they can't give each client the attention he or she deserves. So Becker Finn, Representative Becker Finn, asked him to come forward with a budget proposal. What does that look like? He put forward a request that would have increased the budget by about 50%, so from about $100 million to $150 million. And that actually, like you said, that passed through the House, and there was bipartisan support for that. But then it was wrapped in this big omnibus public safety bill, like they do at the end of session. And because of some disagreements over some other provisions in that bill, it was all it all failed to cross the finish line.
Now, the board, as part of their meeting in which they did decide to reappoint Ward, they did agree with the Public Defenders Union on a new pay scale, but that is far from certain from being enacted during the next legislative session, correct?
That's right. So it was kind of a mixed bag for union lawyers at this Board of Public Defense meeting. On the one hand, the board broadly, they said they took the vote of no confidence into consideration, but still felt strongly that Ward was a good leader and advocated for their clients well, and so they had trust in him, so they reappointed him over the objections of the rank and file. However, they did listen to the rank and file proposal on this new wage scale, which would mean really significant pay increases for rank and file if it's approved by the legislature. Now, like we've been talking about, there was some bipartisan support for that last session. We'll see if that carries through. A lot of that depends on what happens in November. The wage scale proposed by union attorneys is guided by the principle that public defenders should make about the same amount as prosecutors. They say it's obviously it leads to some unbalance if you can make more money prosecuting crimes than you can defending people for them. So they looked at salaries of prosecutors from around the state and tried to pair it closely to that. Under this proposal, an entry-level public defender would go from making about $70,000 today to $83,000 a year in 2024, and the top of the pay scale would increase significantly as well, with a maximum salary of $157,000 as opposed to $123,000 today. So that's about a $34,000 increase.
Yeah, and that would certainly help keep more public defenders within the profession, since that's been an ongoing issue with a lot of turnover, with many of these defenders going on to private practice where they can potentially make more money. And just to go back to the board and their decision to reappoint Bill Ward as their head public defender, can you walk us through some of the reasons why they decided to reappoint him? Because certainly this was unprecedented to have that vote of no confidence in him. So I'm curious in some of the specific reasons as to why the board decided to reappoint Ward.
Sure. So I'm not privy to all the discussions or thinking that went into that. The Board of Public Defense, which is an appointed body of members are appointed by both the governor and the Supreme Court. They went into an executive session behind closed doors to discuss his reappointment and were cagey with me when I asked after the meeting, you know, what did you consider? How did you decide? They decide, you know, our reasoning and our discussions are confidential. Those are personnel matters, but they said we did take it all into account and decided that Ward was good for a job. You know, I think this is also coming under a time crunch. His reappointment is postdated back to the summer. So I think it seemed to me that there was some sense that they're not going to start an entire search process for a new head. They were happy enough with Ward and felt like there was time pressure to just have someone in there.
We can read more about that in the Minnesota Reformer. Again, that's Masnek-Strask with his article talking about how Minnesota's top public defender was reappointed over objections from the rank and file. Find that over at MinnesotaReformer.com. One more piece to talk about today, and that has to do with something Christopher Ingram wrote about and how Minnesota gun deaths have hit a 20-year high. As he writes, the number of Minnesotans dying from gunfire in 2021 rose to the highest level in over 20 years, according to preliminary data released by the CDC. The 570 gun deaths in Minnesota last year included 164 homicides, 393 suicides, and 13 additional deaths that were either accidental or of undetermined intent. And Max, these are pretty shocking numbers, especially when we look at those suicide numbers, since that's something that's often missed when we talk about gun violence in general when it comes to the gun violence debate. But those are substantial numbers, with almost two-thirds of gun violence deaths resulting from suicide. Those are some pretty staggering numbers.
That's right. You know, when we talk about increasing gun deaths, the focus is typically on homicides, but suicide is like you said, a major is the lion's share of gun deaths. And as Chris Ingram, my colleague, reports, a majority of those happen in greater Minnesota, whereas in the Twin Cities metro area, a majority of homicides happen. So it's kind of reversed that way. But when we think about gun deaths, I think in the popular imagination is homicides in the Twin Cities metro area. And it's not that there aren't too many homicides happening in the Twin Cities metro area. There certainly are. But there are also certainly an even more, a greater number of suicides happening. Both call for probably different solutions, and both are slightly different problems, but both come back to gun deaths.
Yeah, just to reemphasize that point, the whole idea of suicide gun deaths increasing in Minnesota, this isn't just something that's affecting one area of the state or urban and rural areas. This is pretty much the entire state of Minnesota.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, partly to blame for this, probably, as Chris reports, is a surge in pandemic gun purchasing. So through the pandemic, there were guns that increased, the number of guns purchased surged from 604,000 in 2018 to 945,000 in 2021. That's an increase of 56%. That's based on federal background checks for gun sales, though, which is the best way we have of kind of guesstimating or estimating how many gun sales there are, since there's no ledger that just tracks every single gun sale in the state. So certainly as gun sales have risen, suicides and homicides have followed.
So how do we compare to other states in terms of this increase in gun violence? Is this something isolated to Minnesota, or has this been happening all over the country as well?
Certainly not. Certainly we've seen an increase in gun deaths and homicides all across the country, and it's not really a red state or a blue state issue. It's something that all states are grappling with, dealing with issues coming out of the pandemic and the civil unrest following the police killing of George Floyd, which, not to say that caused greater homicides, but there was a lot of social unrest. There's a lot of police leaving the force in droves. Research shows that police presence can deter violence in certain areas. So there's a lot going on here. There's been a lot of turmoil in the last couple of years all across the country that's been met with an increase in gun deaths.
Yeah, there's some sobering statistics, but encourage you to check out Chris Ingram's article on that in the Minnesota Reformer, minnesotareformer.com. Minnesota gun deaths hit 20-year high, as he does a nice job diving into some of those numbers and especially pointing out that, unfortunately, those suicide numbers have increased substantially recently. Well, we are just about out of time, as we have been speaking with Max Nesterak, who is the deputy editor at the Minnesota Reformer. One more time, website, minnesotareformer.com. Max, thanks so much for coming on the show today. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, let's take a break and send things back over to Matt McNeil on AM 950.